Okay. Gemara on top of Chaf Yom and Aleph. So let's just read through it. There is a lot more Mukta stuff here, which we're not going to get into. We're going to focus on a point which is towards the end, but at least just to read the Gemara. So the Gemara said as follows: Amar Rabba Barahuna Amar Rav Hasocher Amas Hamayim Me'erev Yom Tov. If you seal off a stream of water on the day on Erev Yom Tov, Ulamachar, this is right, two lines down, Chafeim and Aleph, Ulamachar Hishkim Umatza Badagim, and then in the morning you find fish, Mutarin. So then it is permitted because the fish were obviously trapped before Yom Tov, and therefore it's fine. Now again, this relates, if you remember earlier, we already discussed the extent to which this is about trapping, to the extent to which it's about Mukta. Right, Machlokas, the Rambam, and the other Rishonim, we saw that. Okay, but if you trap them before Yom Tov, so then whether it's about Seida, so they're already trapped, if it's about Mukta, well, they've already set aside. Amar Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda says, Midivar Rabbeinu Nilmod, from this position, we learn that Chaya Shekinna Bepardes Eina Tzvicha Zimun. Now this sounds very much like, at least at this stage in the Gemara, we are now moved on to Mukta, which again was in line with the Rambam Shita. Here we learn that if you you have an animal in a guarded place, right? Rashi clarifies in a specific guarded place within a vineyard and within an orchard, you don't need further preparation, right? Rashi just says Makom and Mishtamir, because an orchard is a place which is normally watched, right? You have guards, the Ein Havlad Yotze Sheinu Yochol Livroach, and this baby animal can't Shekinah that had given birth, right? It had, in the orchard, so it can't run away. V'kal Letsudo, it's easy to trap it. V'ein Otzarach Zimun, so you don't need to designate it again. Da'acha V'mneishi Stuma V'enichol Latzes Karilei Muchanim, since it's a closed off place and it can't get out of there, it's already considered prepared. Kamei Parach the Zimun Gadol Huzesh Osa Masel Hashem. As one of the verses, isn't that obvious? Later on, the Gemara will say, because isn't this a significant act of preparation? Okay, Amar of Nachman. Well,
this assumes that it was born before.
I think so. Amar Nachman Nafal Chavrin Birav Ravasa. Ikadamri Amar Rabba Barhuna Midiv Rabbeinu Nilmod Chayin Shekin Avar Is Eina Tzricha Zimun. Right, some people read it. Right, there was a machlokes about this. Meaning this position enters him into a big machlokas because Rav Nachman had ruled this way. But hasam lo ka'avid ma'ase, hacha ka'avid ma'ase. And he said that, once again, where do we go? Right, our friend has fallen, is now amongst the great ones. Right? Bar Chavrein, Barav Ravasa. Right? Our friend, right? Look at Rashi, right? Nichnas Rosho, right? Nafel Chavrein, Rav Chisda. I mean, Rav Chisda has just, by clarifying that, he has just thrown himself into Barav Ravasa. Nichnas Rosho, Le Machlokos Gidolos, Sheyirbu Alav Bezos. Ulukameh Misayim Kusha. And later on, he'll explain the question. And the pisk mafsa kamilsa beikad amri the milchav of Rav Chisda Rav Rav Huna. Right? Rashi just clarifies that this is going to get a bit right. This is a bit. It's a hard to read. Right? It doesn't flow well, but that's just because we interrupted it to change names. But basically, right? The point is that this is a big machlokes because the Gemara said it's not obvious that this is true because one could distinguish between the case of the fish, where you closed off the stream of water and therefore you did something physical, and that's why either it's trapped or it's not mukta, as opposed to the case where the animal of its own accord ended up in this orchard, and therefore if you think it's a mukta problem, that may not count, right? Because it's true that it's easy to catch it and it's in a designated place, but you didn't put it there, so there was no proactive side, and therefore he notes that this is a machlokes, right? That really it's a machlokes. Some shitot hold that in fact this is true, that just like the fish in the Amar Hamayim, in this small stream, are already trapped and already muchan. Again, I'm just going to blur those two for now. So too, the animal in this orchard is considered trapped and non-mukta. And the other one says, no, you actually, right, or to frame it a little bit differently, right, is the issue that anytime an animal is in a small contained place, it's automatically either hunted, already trapped, and not mukta, it's already considered mukhan, it's already considered designated, or is it the act of constraining the animal that makes it not mukta, right? Which one is it? That's the machlokas. Okay, right?
It would make a big difference if you're talking about mukta or...
Correct. Here, at this point, it sounds very much like you're dealing with mukta, right? The Rambam's position is much easier to understand at this point.
Whether you care whether somebody...
Correct, right. From the vantage point of mukta, right, the Rambam's understanding the whole sugya, this is much smoother, right, that what we're talking throughout about mukta. Yeah, I mean, the Rambam is definitely a smooth read here, and that, you know, as we saw, that was his. I thought about going through the very, very detailed discussions here, but I thought we'd all go mad at some point, right, going back to that question, but just to sort of get it down.
I'm just making the point.
But yeah, no, for sure. This, from a mukta perspective, the Gemara makes a lot of sense. The Gemara says, "V'lo b'zimun, v'atanya chayishkena b'pardet tzricha l'zamein." The Gemara, is it really true that you don't need zimun? Right at this point, we really do sound like we're talking about mukta. Does anybody hold that you don't need a specific designation? But we have a braisa that says that you, in fact, do. Right, you do need to designate it. V'tzipur dror, and if you have a free bird, tzarech likshor b'chnafeh kdei shelo titchalef b'ima. And if you have this free bird, you actually have to tie it up so you won't, right, you won't switch it. You won't mix it up with it, with its mother. V'zu eidos she'ida mipei shmaya v'avtalion. This we know from Shmaya v'Avtalion. So the Gemara says Tiyufta. Right? Okay, you're right. It's not true. Right? It's not true. In fact, the key here wasn't that it's in a constrained place. The key is that it was designated, and therefore, both in the fish case, you need to do an act to designate the fish, and by the animal, you need not that it should by itself be constrained in a small place. You need to do something to constrain the animal. Again, from the mukta perspective, this is very easy. Right? Meaning by doing that, you make it not mukta. Where it says, yeah.
In our animal case, is it possible that the animal case, and I'm sort of cheating by looking here, is a case where the mother is in the pardes, and that's where you normally keep the mother?
Well, that's presumably what it is, right?
Okay, but the mother would be hunting because she can move around.
Correct.
Okay.
Right, that seems to be it, right? Meaning that it's the mother could get away, the child can't.
So it's not random that it happens.
Right, no, it's not random. Right. No, this is, right, you can understand at the nuances, right? You could say it's not just, right, it's not random. The mother's always there and the child can't move, so there is a level of expectation. You would understand, even maybe from a mukta perspective, why it doesn't need designation, because there's an implicit designation, and that's the Gemara's machlokas, right? If the mother is always around there, it's just that the mother is a quick mover, but the child is going to end up there, and it's natural that it's there, and it will never be able to get away, because that's just the way things are. A young born baby can't run away, so yes.
But doesn't he give a reason why you have to do all this tying up with this kind of, because it won't be so loti chalik b'ma? That's not the same as moving from a muksa point of view. You don't need zero, you don't need anything. This is like zero, loti chalik b'ima. You could say he meant that for both of them.
Okay, like, but what's the question with ima? Why is the mother the problem, right? Because it could be the mother is muksa.
She says the mother can't get, the young animal can't get away.
Right. So, but the question is, what's with the mother, right? Is it that the mother, the problem is the mother because she can get away, therefore it's a tzeda problem, therefore it's aser, or the mother can get away and therefore she's not mizumenet, and therefore it's a mukta problem, right? Meaning, right, as we've seen in the whole sugya, right, these can go back and forth, right? Every time someone isn't trapped, an animal isn't trapped, that's either it's a tzeda problem, or that because it's not trapped, it's not designated, because it's out of your realm, and therefore it's a mukta problem. That was, again, this is just an iteration of the Gemara, that original machlokas of Rashi, Rambam, etc., the beginning of the sugya. The Gemara says, "Umi zimun, do you really need designation? Vatanya Rishon ben Elazar, Modim Beisham Beis Hillel, Al Shehizminan Betoch Hakein." Bisham and Bezalel agree that if you designate them in the nest, umatzel lefnei akein, and then they are in the front, you find them not in the nest, but outside of the nest, in front of the nest, sha'asurin, that they're forbidden, and the Gemara says, why? B'mei devarim amurim, right, Rashi says, right, I mean, when do you say you need, why in front? So Rashi just clarified, this was a sugya and daf yud, why is it that if you find the birds in front of the nest, they're not mutter? So the Gemara and daf yud had clarified because you assume that, right, there were birds there that you did designate and birds there that you didn't designate, and once you find them out of the nest, you assume that the birds there aren't the ones you did designate, they're the ones you didn't designate. And the Gemara says, "B'med var mamurim, when it, do we even say you need zimun? When do you need to designate? B'yone shovech, b'yone alila, when you aliyah rather, when you're dealing with these doves in the dove coat or in this this attic thing, v'tziporim shekinin betvichen uvevira, or birds that make their nest in the building or in the castle." In the, whatever, the mansion, aval avazim v'tarnagolim v'yonei hardisos, but if you have geese, or these Herodian doves, v'chayesh akinu v'pardis, or the animal, right, in the orchard again, mutar and vein tzrichon zimun, they don't need designation. V'tzripor dror tzrichol likshar b'knafea, and the wild bird you need to tie up, k'dei shel tzchayef b'ima, so it won't be mixed up with its mother. Vam bekusharim, and the ones which are tied up. Vam nun bevaros uvevatim uveshichen uvemaros, in the pits or in the houses or in the trees or in the caves. Mutarin, they're permitted. Not in the trees, rather. Uveilanos asurin, but if the birds are found in the tree, so then asurin, you can't go to them because shemayala v'yidlosh, because we're worried that if we allow you to take the bird, you will actually climb up the tree, which is a problem because you'll end up right ripping off a branch or whatever. V'amikusharin v'aminu nine b'chol makom asurin mishum gezel. And once the Gemara is already in this discussion of these birds on Yom Tov, the Gemara then moves to a different discussion. Says, by the way, if you ever find a bird which is already tied up, or like, you know, had been moved around in like such a way that it was designated, you can't take that bird mishum gezel, right? You aren't allowed to take that bird, even though it, you know, it's still somewhat free. You aren't allowed to take the bird because it's theft, because it now belongs to the person who had tied it up or moved it, designated it before. And Amram Nachman says, Lo Kasha. Right, so isn't this a problem? Because here it says you need designations. The Gemara says, Habba ima. It depends. Are you talking about the child? Are you talking about the mother? Ima bezimun tzagila, the mother. Designation is sufficient. Ima bezimun sagila. That's a question. Does the mother? Is it enough to designate the mother? It doesn't make any sense. Seidam al yasabai. The mother can run away. Can fly away. The mother, in order to permit catching the mother on Yom Tov, using the mother on Yom Tov, it's not enough just to designate it. You actually need to trap it. So Elam Nachmar Yitzchak idib. The whole sugi is talking about it's the child. But ha begina smuchal ear, ha begina shena smuchal ear. So Gemara's conclusion, and here it sounds very much like a muksa thing, is we're talking about a child bird that can't run away. So there's no tzeda problem, right? There's no trapping problem because the bird can't fly away, right? The animal can't run away. The problem, the issue at hand is a muksa problem, and the difference is as follows: if the bird is in a field, which is right next to the city, you know, you can see it, you know it's there, you can get there easily. So then it's implicitly not mukta because it's right there and everybody knows if there's a animal that's easy to get because it's a baby and it can't run away and it's right next to your house, right? You live on, you know, right next to the edge of the city and it's right there. So then it is implicitly mukhan, it's implicitly non-mukta, you don't need to actively designate it. But if it's your bird somewhere out, you know, in the fields and you can't, you know, it takes a bit of time to get there, so that animal is not presumed to be usable on Yom Tov. In order for it to be removed from its mukta status, you actually need to go and prepare it. Okay, that's the Gemara's conclusion. I said, there's a lot to do in terms of the nuances of the mukta here and there, but I really don't. Even reading the Gemara is dizzying, so I'm just going to leave it there. What I want to focus on is one line here. And that is this line of Asur Mishum Gezel, right? In the middle of this whole discussion, the Gemara says that besides for having Yom Tov implications, right? Besides for the fact that if you have this bird flying around, that you tie it up a little bit before before Yom Tov, that it is now not mukta, it's now designated. It's also forbidden for everybody else to take this bird because it would be theft. And the Rishonim try to figure out why this is true. So if you look at, I'm just going to look at Tosfos, because Tosfos quotes Rashi, so we'll just look at both of them at the same time. Right? Tosfos ha-mekusharim asurin b'chol makom b'nei gezel. So Tosfos, the question that Rishonim want to figure out is why. Okay? A little bit of background to what the problem is here. Right? We're dealing here, presumably, now this is not your pet bird. Right? This is a bird from out there. Right? This is a bird from out there. The assumption is that when you do this, you have acquired it. So therefore, if anyone else takes it, they can't take it. It's gezel. However, right, in the fifth parak of Baba Basra, where we have all the list of kinyanim, and in the first parak of Kiddushin, we have the list of kinyanim, right, there's a whole bunch of ways that you can acquire things, and tying the legs of a bird is not one of them. Right? That's just not a kinyan. Right? One way of acquiring things is picking it up, hagba. One way is mashicha, right? By animals that you do mashicha, right? Like you take a cow so you can pull it. You can give over the bit by an animal, right? Masira. There's all types of kinyanim. There's all types of way you acquire things. But this isn't one of them. So what does it mean that you tied up the feet or you moved it a little bit and suddenly you own it such that if anyone else finds this dove, it's belongs to you, and they can't take it because of theft. So Rashi says, Perish Rashi, Sharisham Kanosan Behagba. So Rashi says, you know what? It can't be that it's what it sounds like. There is no kinyan. It's not, there is no act of acquisition called tying or moving. Right? You have to lift it up. Right, you know, we do this at, you know, the only time we really do this is like Mechiras Chametz and at weddings. It's the only time we really do it nowadays. Right, it's Hagbah. Right, but Mechiras Chametz, when we do, okay, do the Hagbah, right, acquire the pen, the handkerchief, and then do a Kinyan Chalipin, right, or at the wedding. We do the same thing for the Ksuba, right, we pick this up, do a Hagbah, do a Kinyan Chalipin, right, we're really doing Chalipin there, we're not really doing Hagbah. But, but again, the same thing. We do the Hagbah only to acquire the pen, or whatever we use, or your shoe. If you want to use your shoe, you can always use your shoe. Right? I've been to weddings where they use shoes. It's really weird. Right? Weider is very into this. Well, because King Chalipin, is derived from Boaz, where right. They used a shoe. So Ray Weider is very into this, that like, if it's the right student who would find it funny, he takes off his shoe and he does the Chalipin with a shoe. Okay, don't do it with a shoe. But so Rashi just says, look,
then it
does a Yibum after that. So Rashi says, look, it must be that there's a missing line, not a missing line. It must be that it's assumed, you understand, that before he tied the legs, or after he tied the legs, or at some point in this process, he also lifted up the bird, did a kinyan hagba.
Does he mean to assume that he did that, or that it would have been possible to tie the legs without doing it?
I don't know, right? I don't know if he means it's impossible to do it without, or you assumed you did it before or after, but Rashi said the assumption here is that the tying itself is not the kinyan, right? Something. Because it's not impossible, right? In order for it to be hagbah, it needs to be three tefach off the ground, right? You could pick up a bird like half a tefach off the ground and tie its feet, or it could be upside down, or I don't know, right? You could do it, right? You could. So, but Rashi says, look, it says that it would be theft to take this bird. It must be that Reuven did an act of acquisition on it. What act? Hagbah, presumably. Right? He picked it up.
Why can't they just argue this thing? The whole thing is like a situmta, whatever they call them.
So he could. But Tosfos is going to say something weirder, and that's what I want to focus on. Right? Tosfos says, lo nihirat, lo shayach kan hagbah. Said, right? That's not what happened.
Based on what?
What?
Based on what does he say that?
why he says lo shayach kan agba, it could be because it's an animal. We don't usually acquire animals by agba either.
Birds.
Right? I know, but usually it's meshicha, it's mesira. But he said, he just assumes this isn't what's going on, right? Why? Maybe he just, right, assume that's not the kinyan you would do. I don't know. He doesn't say. Does the Bach say it? Where is this even going to?
Except our case is a case of a pardes, and it says
pardes
is guarded.
Oh, so one second. The Bach, we'll come to that. But the Bach goes back to what Sam said. Right? The Bach, if you look here, says, what does Tosfos mean? Tosfos assumes that what Rashi meant was what Sam said. Right? Not that he did an act of Hagbah, but that you can't tie the legs of a bird without doing Hagbah. Right? And he said that what is Tosfos arguing? Klomar mishum ninu alav Hagbah
hi. Well, you could do it.
Right?
You could tie the legs without doing
Hagbah. Right. He said you could. And, right, well, or I should put it more carefully. The Bach is assuming that the way Tosfos understands Rashi is that the Hagbah that happened was merely the moving. That counts as Hagbah. Right? And Tosfos says it's not true. It doesn't say he picked it up. It says he moved it around, right? Which sounds like he just, you know, shook the bird a little bit. I don't know. Which is not Hagbah. And Tosfos said it's just not what it is. So then what did Tosfos say? Elok damrinan dahabata kona behefker. It must be that how did he acquire it? He looked at it. Because when something is hefker, when something lacks an owner, you can acquire it by looking at it. Ha'ol umis asek huben k'tas, because he's involved a little bit in it, that's enough. Right? He looked at it, he was involved in it, it's enough. So that one line in Tosfos, that's what I want to focus on. Right? Because Tosfos, right, seems to throw everything that we know about Kinyanim out the window. Right? What we know about Kinyanim from Baba Basra and from Kiddushin is that Kinyanim are physical acts. You pick up, you pull, you push, you whatever, right? Looking is not a kinyan. You can't look at something and acquire it. What?
I think I heard once that looking is a kinyan.
Correct. That's the, and where does it get this notion,
right?
It is the first part of Metzia, right? He didn't make it up, right? This question of whether this is true,
right,
comes from the first Gemara in Bava Metzia. He gets it from somewhere. But we'll see, many Rishonim are going to push back against this because they don't believe it. But that's what I want to try to figure out. Is there such a thing as a kinyan habata, kinyan ri'iya? Can you acquire something by looking at it? And if you can, how does that work? Right? Why should it be true that I can look at something and acquire it? Right? Well, that breaks all rules. Even if it, right? It breaks all rules. Now, Tosfos already hints to you what the answer is, which is it doesn't break the rules because this is hefker, right? Because this is ownerless, which, as we'll see, the Ritva will spell this out. There's a reason why by hefker you would think that you could acquire things by looking at it. Admittedly, if it's not hefker, meaning you're trying to buy something or acquire something from another human being, so then it's insufficient to look at it, you need a formal act of acquisition.
Here's another thing. He says, mitasek b'hen k'tzat.
Right. And then we have to figure out what that means. Mitasek b'hen k'tzat, right? Does that mean that he doesn't mean ri'ya? When he says looking, does he mean looking, really looking? Or does he mean, like, you know, you're looking and moving it and whatever, and there's another kinyan going on? Correct. Right? So those are the two things we need to figure out. Is what exactly does Tosfos mean? Right? But in order to figure out whether Tosfos could possibly mean kinyan ri'ya mamish, right? Can you acquire things by looking at it? We got to figure out if there's such a thing as acquiring things by looking at it. So where does this all come from? So it comes from the Gemara in Bava Metzia. Gemara in Bava Metzia, right at the beginning, says as follows. Shnayim ochzen vitalis, right? There are two people holding, right? This is like, yeah. This is, you know, Bava Metzia 101. You have two people holding on to a talis. You know, it's like, it just lends itself. It's like the most paradigmatic Gemara ever, right? Like, this is it. In Gush, they did Bava Metzia three years ago, I think. So for Purim, they made an excellent, very nerdy video to the tune of Let It Go, though in Hebrew, Tazov, right? About two people who find a talis, right? And they sing Tazov, you know, and it's very well done. It goes through all the sugyot over here, but this is the classic one, right? Two people are holding on to a talis, to a garment. Zelmer animitasia. Zelmer animitasia. This one says, I found it first. This one says, I found it first. Zelmer kula shali. This one says, it's mine. It's all mine. Zelmer kula shali. And the other one says, it's all mine. Ze yishbashen lo bapachos michetzia. In you know, what may be the most Talmudic moment in ever. This one swears that he owns not less than half. Right? I won't admit that it's not all mine, but I need to swear that, but I can't swear that I own half, right? I need to somehow articulate a swear that will not contradict my claim, but will allow me to collect on a partial claim, so therefore we make him swear that this is, he owns not less than half. The other one also swears that I don't have less than half, the achloku, and they divide it in half. So the Gemara says, "Lama li misna zelmer ani mitzasiya v'zelmer ani mitzasiya zelmer kula shali v'zelmer kula shali." Listen, Ichanda. So the Gemara says, "Why do you need it? This sounds like two cases. I found it. No, I found it. It's mine. It's mine." Gemara said, "Isn't that the same thing? Why does the guy think it's his? Because he found it. Right? It's one case, right? Don't say I found it. I found it. It's mine. It's mine. Right? It's one case. I found it, and therefore it is mine." Listen, Ichanda. So the Gemara says, Chada Kazani. You're right. That is exactly what it's saying. Zelmer ani mitzasiya v'kula shali. V'zelmer ani mitzasiya v'kula shali. That's what they're saying. I found it, so it's all mine. And the other one says, I found it, so it's all mine. So the Gemara says, then just say that. V'lisni ani mitzasiya v'ana yodana d'kula shali. So then say it that way. I found it, and therefore I know it's all mine. So the Gemara says, itana ani mitzasiya, if it had said, I found it, Hava Amina, my mitzasiya, re'isiha. I may have said, what does it mean I found it? I saw it. Afal gav delo asai liyodei. Even though it never actually got to his hands, bere'iyo ba'alma kani. And he acquired it simply by having seen it first. Tana kula shali, debere'iyo lo kani. So the Gemara tells you, no. Seeing it doesn't count. Seeing it does not acquire. The Gemara says, right, so the Gemara has a havamina for a moment that looking at something acquires it, and then the Gemara says it's not true. Looking doesn't work. Right, that's not called an acquisition. So the Gemara says, umi matzi amart my mitzasiya ri'isiha. Could you even have entertained the possibility that finding means seeing? Va'amar Ravnoi umitzasa dasar liyade mashma. Ravnoi said that, and he found it implies, and it came to his hands. So the Gemara says in umitzasa dekra when the pasuk says and he found it dasar liyade mashma. It sounds like it got to his hands. Umiu tana lishna da almanokat. But the Mishnah may not have meant that. It just wrote what it wrote. And when he sees it, he says, I found it. Right? Look what I found. I see it. And therefore, you might have thought that simply by seeing it, he acquires it. Tani kula shali. So it says, no, it's all mine. Meaning, b'ri'a ba'alma lo kani. Which means by seeing it alone, you did not acquire it. Now, I don't think I put the Rishonim on, did I? I don't think I put the Rishonim there to clarify this line, but it's pretty straightforward. The Rishonim just say, why does Kula Shali sound more like I put it in my hands rather than I saw it? The Gemara says the Rishonim says it's very simple. Because if you could acquire things by seeing, you couldn't say with confidence that I saw it and no one else did. Right, because the second you entertain the possibility that seeing something is an act of acquisition, right, if the only way to acquire something is to pick it up in your hands, so someone can say with confidence, I picked it up first, he did it, it's mine. But if you can acquire something simply by seeing it, how do you know? Right, you saw it from your, you know, you live in an apartment building, you saw it from the fourth story, right, you have no idea, right, there's 10 apartment buildings around, there's 150 people who, right, it's like the Kitty Genovese case, right, you assume that the entire world sees it, right, you have no idea, because the Mishnah is talking about someone who with confidence says, I saw it alone, meaning it's all mine, meaning I got it and no one else did, it must be talking about something more concrete that he can say with confidence, I saw it, no one else did. So just say, it's all mine, and not, I found it. So Gemara said, no, because if he said that, then every other time it said found it, I would assume that meant see it. The extra line in the Mishnah teaches you that seeing does not acquire. So the simple read of our Gemara in Bava Metzia is that there was a Havamina. The Gemara entertained the possibility that merely by looking at something you could acquire it, but it rejects it. It's not true. That's Gemara 1, right? So this creates a problem for Tosos, because Gerard's right. The Gemara entertained the possibility, but then rejected it soundly and said, we went through this whole linguistic game to explain to you that looking at something doesn't do anything legally. You have to pick something up. So how is Artosos coming around and saying, by the way, by looking at something, you could acquire it? That's Gemara 1. There's three more Gemaras to go. The Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Tes says, it's in the middle of the Mishnah, Hayrochev al gabe behema, if you're riding on an animal, v'ra es hametzia, and you see a lost object, or a found object, v'amar l'chavero t'neili, and you said to your friend, give it to me. Natla va'amar anizachetiba. So his friend picked it up and said, ha ha, I didn't pick it up for you, I picked it up for me. Zachaba, he gets it. Right? It's a jerk move, right? But he gets it. Imi shenasnalo. But if Shimon already gave it to Reuven, and Amar Aniza Chidi Batchila, and then says, no, I meant to pick it up for me, I was just letting you see it. Lomar Klum. Now, so this Mishnah, at first glance, again, sounds like seeing an object is not an act of acquisition, because he said, if he sees it, and he tells someone else, pick it up for me, so then, the person who picks it up first gets it. But if the guy riding on the horse could acquire it simply by looking at it, then why didn't he just look at it? Now, obviously, many the Rishonim will parry this and say, no, you only acquire by looking if you mean to acquire by looking. But if you say, acquire it for me by picking it up, then you have revealed that you don't have intent to magically acquire it with your eyes. You mean to pick it up. But at first glance, at least, the Mishnah sounds like looking at something doesn't count to acquire it, because otherwise, how'd you get into this mess? The guy on the horse clearly saw it first, told someone else, pick it up for me, and then you get into this whole fight because the second guy picks it up and takes it for himself, and he's allowed to do that. That's mission. That's case two. Three, Mishnah Bava Metzia Daf Yud. Ra es hametzia v'nofal aleh. If you see a lost object and you fall on top of it, uva acher v'hichzik ba, and someone else comes and grabs it, zeh shehichzik ba zachaba, the one that grabbed it from you acquires it. So here it's even worse. Not only did he see it, he jumped on top of it. And the Gemara still says, too bad, jumping, looking, and jumping, right, and tackling an object. Neither of those help you, only actually taking it. The Gemara says, so the Gemara in the later on says, V'iyamar arba amma shaladam konos lo b'chol makom. The Gemara says, how could this be true? We have a principle that anything that's within your dalet amos, or anything that's within your, you know, 4-cubit space, is within your space and you acquire it automatically. So niknu le arba amos didei. If you've tackled something, it is now in your domain, so why do you need to pick it up? So the Gemara says, hacham mayaskinan b'lomar ikni. It's where he didn't say, I will acquire it. V'chitakan rabbanon kilomar mayahave. The Gemara says, so what? If arba amot, if something with being within your arba amot acts as an act of acquisition, then who cares whether the guy said, I'm going to acquire it or not? The Gemara says, no. Kevan dinafal, since he fell on it, goli daite, d'mfila nichalei d'nikne, it was clear that he didn't want to acquire it through the magic mechanism of anything within my dalet amot. He wanted to acquire it through falling. Right, through tackling. But tackling isn't a real thing. So Arba Amot lo nichalei d'nikne. He didn't want to use the mechanism of Arba Amot, and since tackling is not a thing, the other guy who then jumped in and grabbed it, acquired it. Now, so from this Gemara, again, we see that looking at something at first glance did not acquire it, because here the guy looked at it and tackled it, and it's not enough. On the other hand, it opens up the possibility that sometimes even something that could be a real kinyan, could be an act of acquisition, if you don't intend to use it, it doesn't work. Right? Because the Gemara is implying that tackling should work, but only if you understand that tackling is a function of something being within your Dalai Lamos and not tackling as tackling. Because tackling alone doesn't work. But so far we have three Gemaras, one which explicitly says looking at something isn't an acquisition, and two of them which imply it, though you could parry them. Right? Two of them that say, look, right, again to review, the guy who's riding on the horse sees something, asks someone else to pick it up. And we say, well, if the guy who picks it up takes it for himself, he's allowed to, which implies that the mere fact that Reuven, riding on the horse, looked at it is not enough. And then in the next Mishnah, even more so, that if you see something and tackle it, it's not enough. Right? Which again implies that merely seeing something doesn't count as a kinyan. So you have three Gemaras, one which explicitly tells you that looking doesn't acquire things, two which imply it, and yet Tosfos, by us, says that what was the case of this bird? You looked at it, and you were Kona, and you acquired it by looking. So so where does Tosfos get this notion? We have one Gemara which says it doesn't work, and two Gemara Mishnayot which imply it doesn't work. Possibly. So, the last Gemara in Bava Metzia Kuf Yud-Chet is the one where Tosfos may find his answer, maybe. The Gemara says, Amar Rabba, habata behefker tanoihi. The question of whether one can acquire something from ownerless properly by looking at it is the subject of a machlokes tanoim. It's the subject of machlokes tanoim. Ditnan, because the Mishnah says, Shomrei svichei shvias, notlen scharan mitrumas halishka. The guards of the svichei shvias, right, the aftergrowths in Shemitah, get paid from the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yotzi Omer Harotze Misnadevu Ushomer China. He said, no, the one who wants to watch it is a volunteer, he doesn't get paid, and therefore he has the status of a unpaid watchman. Amru Lo Ata Omer Kain Ein Bayin Mishel Tzibor. They said to him, how can you say that? Shouldn't it come from, right? Does it not come from the community, right? Which is what they had originally said, right? They're paid from,
That's a requirement that this is also a beit, I presume.
Right.
That's paid by Michelle Tzibor?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, right? They're paid from the Trumas Halishka.
If you don't do that, it doesn't work.
So the Gemara says, well, what's their machlokas, right? What exactly are they arguing about? So the Gemara says, my love bahaka mifugi, tanakama savar habata behefker kani, v'i avile igra in v'ilo lo. So the Tanakama says, look, what's the issue? Tanakama held that by looking at it, he could acquire it. Now, if you're appointing someone as a watchman, he's always looking at it. So therefore, how are you going to ensure that... we need this, by the way. Okay, the context here is we need these aftergrowths. We're using it for the Karban Omer, right? So that we need it, right? It's for the community. We need them in the end. That's why it's paid from the Beis HaMikdash, right? We want, he's guarding it on our behalf. So why are they arguing about whether they should be paid or whether they should just volunteer? So the Tanakhama says, look, looking at something acquires it. Now, anything during Shemitah is Hefker. Therefore, if you appoint a watchman, so the given is he would own it. Why do you have to pay him? Because you don't want him to acquire it. You want it to belong to the community to use it for Karbanot. So to prevent him from acquiring it, what you do is you hire him, because then he can't, right? Then he's not going to acquire it, right? Because now he works for you, he's watching it on your behalf. So therefore he says, V'iyave legra in ilolo. So if you pay him, great. If you don't pay him, it's going to be bad. Riyosi Amar, Riyosi said, what are you talking about? Habata be'efker lo kani. Looking at it doesn't do a darn thing, right? It does not acquire even from ownerless properly. V'chi azli tziboru maisi, and therefore when the community goes and picks it, hashtahu dekazachi be. They're not picking it from the individual, they're picking community. Now, just clarify that one more time, right? The issue is, we want to use these aftergrowths for the karbana. The karbana have to belong to the community. So the problem is, how do we make it that this is the communal funds and not the individual funds? Because we don't want a communal karbana coming from the random watchman.
Right.
So the Gemara suggests that this machloket about whether someone can volunteer to be the watchman for the karbana or not comes down to the question of whether simply by watching it he'll acquire it. If you think that he will, so we're stuck. Because we don't want random watchmen to look at the produce, he'll acquire it, and then the community doesn't own the property. It belongs to Reuven, because Reuven was the watchman. We don't want that to happen. Right? So what we do is we hire him so that the entire time he's looking at it on behalf of the community, and therefore, right, and he's paid from communal funds, and therefore everything he looks at is acquired by the community. Rabbi Yossi says, big deal, right? Looking at it is meaningless. So the fact that someone's watching it doesn't make it his. He's just making sure no one else comes. And therefore, when the representatives of the community come to pick it, to use it for the karbanot, at that moment they acquire it from hefker, right, from ownerless property, and therefore it belongs to the community from the moment it's picked, and therefore it can be used for the karban. So
therefore it doesn't matter
if
you pay him.
And therefore it doesn't matter whether you pay him, because right, the whole reason we would pay him is to ensure that he doesn't acquire it for himself, because we want it to belong to the community. So the Gemara says, Umata Omer. What exactly are you saying? Hachi Kamrele, this is what they're saying. Midvarechal idvarenu, ein omer ushtelechem ba'in mishal tzibor. The Chachamim, or the Tanakhama, said to Rabbi Yossi, if we let this guy volunteer, what will come out is the omer and the shtelechem will come from a personal, from an individual rather than from the community. That's why we have to pay him. We pay him from communal funds to ensure that everything belongs to the community. So Amar Rava, Rava says no. Lo dechulei amah habata behefker kani. Everyone holds that by looking at something, he does acquire it. Meaning everybody agrees that this watchman, by watching the grains, they become his. What are they arguing about? Everyone agrees. What's going to happen? Reuven's going to go. He's going to watch the grain. By watching it, they will become his. He's a nice guy, and he's going to give it as a gift to the community, so that when you bring the karban, it will be a communal karban. The machlokas is psychologically. When somebody who's exerted all the effort to watch the, to guard the grain himself, and then he gives it as a gift to the community, is he really giving it wholeheartedly, and therefore it becomes the community's and they can use it for the karban, or is he going to be begrudging about it, and therefore he's not really going to give it over? If he doesn't really give it over, we might run into a problem. That's the machlokas, right? Everyone agrees that he could acquire it and does acquire it by looking at it. Their machlokas is, are we worried about whether he's actually going to give it to the community with a full heart? The Chachamim say, look, pay him. If you pay him, he won't begrudge you, because he was paid to watch it and give it over to the community. So when he gives it over to the community, he'll give it in good faith. Rabbi Yossi says, and Rabbi Yossi says, I'm not worried about it. What is he saying? And the Chacham respond to him and say, you give people too much credit. We are worried that if someone spent all the time for free, he's not going to want to give it as a gift to the community, and therefore we have to pay him. Now remember, we can't actually buy it off of him, because it's Shemitah. The whole point is, but that's the whole problem here, is we can't buy it from him, because it's Shemitah, that's business. Right, so we need him to give it as a gift, right? So we can only pay him for his labor. We can't pay him for his right. We can't pay him for the actual grain. That's why we're trying to pay him for his labor, so that when he gives it as a gift, it'll be in good faith. That's the whole problem here. Ikadamri, or the final possibility, Rav Amar, Dechuli Amma Habata Behefker, Lo Chai Shinan. Behefker, Lo Kani. Everyone agrees that looking doesn't work. Hacha Chai Shinan Labali Zorah Kemifically. We're worried about, they're arguing about, are we worried that bullies are going to come and try to steal the grain? Right? Rabbi Yossi said, I'm not worried that bullies are going to come, and therefore, I can trust a unpaid guard.
You're concerned if bullies come, the unpaid guard's going to run away.
Exactly.
He's paid, he'll guard
it back. Exactly, right? Meaning, if a bully comes, so if you're being paid, you're being paid. This is what you're here for, is to guard it from thieves, right? Strong thieves. You know, volunteers, it's like, look, I volunteered to keep away the birds, the crows, right? Whatever, easy stuff, right? I can be a scarecrow, but I'm not fighting anybody over this 15 bucks of grain. It's not worth my time, right? So the argument is, no, everyone agrees he can't be Koneh. The question is, are we worried that if we don't pay him, he'll run away at any sign of trouble? The Chachamim say, yeah, we're worried that there'll be trouble, and therefore we pay him to make sure that even when there's trouble, he'll stay, right? He'll fight for the grain. Rabbi Yossi said, who's coming to steal the 15 bucks of grain you need for the carpanos? Big deal, right? We're not worried about it. So you want to volunteer? Gazante, you'll volunteer.
Okay, so how can anything be hefker?
Everything's in hefker. Shemitah.
Okay. Forgetting, going through all the cases, or the whole concept of doing kinyan by looking. How can anything be hefker? Because based on your first comment, you have no idea if someone else looked at it. So if it's just based that looking is kinyan, nothing is really hefker because
we haven't even gotten into what this means. So we just listed the Gemara. So just I do have to get to Marv. So let me just summarize where we are.
This is the famous question raised by Einstein's theory of relativity. If you look at something, you change it, right?
So this is the machlokas. But so just to summarize where we are, though, right? And this is the machlokas Rishonim, right? So where does this whole machlokas Rishonim come from, right? So just to review, the first Gemara says, clearly, looking meaningless. Second and third Gemara imply it, right? Because the first one says, if I'm riding on a horse and I ask someone, do me a favor, pick that up for me, he picks it up and says, haha, it's mine, right? So it's his, which implies that the first guy looking at it wasn't an acquisition. Again, you could parry that and say, maybe not, because maybe he just didn't mean to do it. He could have, he just didn't. The third case was he saw it and even tackled it, and that also doesn't work. Which implies that seeing doesn't work, because seeing and tackling doesn't work, so for sure seeing doesn't work. Again, you could parry that, the same way the Gemara parries the tackle. The Gemara says, well, tackling is at least the same as arba amot, is it being within your four amot? Why doesn't it work? The Gemara says, because you didn't mean for it to work. So you could say the same thing here. But the first three Gemaras, one explicitly says looking doesn't work, the next two imply that it doesn't work, but can be parried. The fourth Gemara, on the other hand, is totally confusing, because the Gemara clearly seems to, at first glance, entertain the possibility that at least when you're dealing with ownerless property, during Shemitah, looking at something can acquire it. But the Gemara has three interpretations, namely, one, the machlokes about whether we pay the guard or not is itself the machlokes of whether looking at something counts as a kinyan. If you think it is, so then you have to pay the guy in advance to make sure that as he looks at it on your behalf, so it becomes the communal property and not his. If you think looking doesn't acquire it, you don't have to pay him because we'll acquire it when we pick it up. That's possibly one in the Gemara. Possibly two in the Gemara is everyone agrees looking at something does acquire it. The only question is, so sure, it's going to belong to Reuven and he's going to give it as a gift to the community. The question is, if he's not paid, are we worried that he won't give it over in good faith? But everyone agrees that looking at it is a kinyan. And the third position in the Gemara is that everybody agrees that looking doesn't work. The only question is nothing to do with Kenyan. The question is, are we worried that bullies are going to come along and an unpaid worker is going to run away, right? The Chachamim said, yeah, we're worried that someone's going to come and steal your last 15 bucks of grain, and therefore we pay the guy to make sure that he stays there even when there's trouble. And Rabbi Yossi said, how much trouble could there possibly be? It's not worth paying him. But everyone agrees that looking at it isn't a Kenyan. So this is the problem, right? This is where the problem emerges. Because if I ask you now, where did Tosfos get his position? The answer is, there's a Gemara explicitly that entertains the possibility that looking at something is a kinyan. But that only pushes the question back one level, which is, how can you have three Gemaras that don't even entertain the possibility that anybody holds? Right? Especially the first Gemara. Right? The first Gemara in Bava Basra tells you, black on white, there is, it, you might have thought that looking at something acquires, Kamash Malan, nobody holds that way. It's not a thing. And then you have the Gemara in Bava Kofir Ches, which says, well, maybe everyone agrees it works, maybe no one agrees it works, maybe it's a machloket, but the Gemara at least entertains it. So how do you have that on Daf Bet, nobody even entertains it? The Gemara raises it and rejects it as a nobody, and then 117 blot later, the Gemara says, oh yes, this is maybe a machloket tanaim, or it even might be unanimous that it does work. It might also be unanimous that it doesn't work, right? How do we get there? And how does Tosfos get to his conclusion? Lahalacha, that it works. Right? That's what Tosfos says. Right? After all this confusion, Tosfos somehow takes these four Gemaras, and his conclusion is, it works. So that's what we have to figure out next week, which is, how did we get to that point? Right? How do we square all these Gemaras? That's what we'll do next week.